Welcome back to the Playbook Podcast with your host, Kyle Stout, another host,
Garrett Burkle.
So, Garrett, the NCAA basketball season has come to an end. The regular season, of course. Conference tournaments are happening. Already some of the small schools are kind of happening.
Mm-hmm. They already got their lock-in.
The Power Five will happen. We'll start this weekend. I think the Big East has already started somewhat. But, yeah, March is here. We're almost to March Madness. Only six more days till Selection Sunday. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's coming.
And it's
going to
be a wild March. It's so unpredictable. Seriously. You could give a Final Four and none of them could make it.
That's true.
So, but anyways, I'm going to go over Joe Lunardi's bracketology. I'm assuming these are going to start coming out pretty often here up until the tournament. The top overall seed, we have Kansas.
That's fair.
I think they're
even though they lost,
I think they're definitely the best team in college basketball. Mm-hmm. Did Houston lose to Memphis yesterday?
No, they ended up winning. They won on a last second shot.
Yeah. And then the first team out, they have Utah State. And then the last team in is Penn State. They had a big win.
They did.
I can't remember if it was yesterday or the day before.
Uh-huh. It was yesterday.
I think it was against Maryland. Yeah, that's a huge win. I think that gets them in. I think they have a little work to do in the conference tournament. Maybe at least win a game.
Yeah, I agree.
And then they're probably in. Mm-hmm. But the way the bubble's looking like right now, the last four byes, you have Pittsburgh, NC State, Auburn, and Rutgers. Those are four teams I wouldn't want to run into in March. Those are all four solid teams when they're playing good. And Auburn, they almost upset Alabama on the road. Unfortunately, they kind of blew that game. But then they turn around and beat Tennessee at home. I think that locks them in the tournament. the last four in, we have Mississippi State, Nevada, Wisconsin, and Penn State. So two Big Ten teams there in the last four in.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That are getting in pretty late. Nevada's honestly pretty solid.
Yeah, Nevada's pretty good.
And then Mississippi State is solid as well. The first four out is Utah State, Clemson, Oklahoma State, and Arizona State. I'm surprised why Arizona State's there.
They had a nice win at Arizona, but other than that, I agree. I don't really know if they should be there. I would personally probably put Michigan over them, even though Michigan.
I mean, they did get blown out by UCLA.
Yeah,
I don't know, dude. If Michigan gets in 2 years a row with a record of 17-14,
but still, I mean, even last year, I mean, they still. I think Michigan's a team that's built for tournament success.
Yeah, that's true, but
I think they're going to be – I think they're in the Big Ten tournament, I think Michigan could make some noise because they have Rutgers the first game, and then they have to play Purdue, which I think Michigan could beat Purdue. So, I don't know. It would be interesting there.
Yeah, and then the next four out, you have Michigan, North Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Oregon.
North Carolina has to win.
North Carolina has to win the conference. They only have one quad one win. I don't think they should even be on the bubble.
Right,
they're
agree.
Not a good team at all. Michigan, they've had their wins, but they've also had some bad losses.
That's true.
So, Michigan, I think Michigan has to win the Big Ten.
I agree.
To get in. Mm-hmm. North Carolina does. Vanderbilt has, I think all these teams really have to win.
Right, I agree.
Because we saw last year with the Texas A&M team on the bubble that got to the title game.
They
lost to
in.
Tennessee, and they weren't in.
Uh-huh.
When they probably should have. So there's really no hope for Vanderbilt unless
right.
they win. And they're going to have to play Kentucky in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, that's going to be tough for them.
Well, most likely. As long as they take care of business against most likely Georgia.
Right.
So the one seeds that Joe Lunardi has right now is Kansas, Alabama, UCLA, and Houston. I think that will stay the same. I could see maybe UCLA dropping out. But probably not.
Yeah, I could see Purdue maybe jumping them. If
maybe
they win
yeah,
their
Purdue could probably jump
Big Ten
in.
Tournament.
The two seeds they have are Arizona, Purdue, Baylor, and Texas.
What region is Purdue in again?
Purdue, he has them in the South.
The Louisville region.
Louisville region.
That's perfect case scenario for the Boilermakers there, I think. Because again, if you're close to Louisville, those fans will show up and they'll show out. So I actually think that's better than Purdue getting like the one seed in another bracket. So I'd actually really like that.
Yeah.
Who's the who's so in Purdue's region? Who do
so
they?
Purdue's has this would be tough because that 7 seed is Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough matchup because I think Kentucky will jump to 6.
I could see
it will
that.
It'll be close because of the loss they had to Vandy.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can make the title game in the SEC, It doesn't mean too much, but I think if they can either make the title game or win the SEC, they can maybe jump to a six.
And who's the three seeds?
Three seed is Kansas State. Kansas State. I would like to be the sixth seed if I'm, you know, right. if I'm Kentucky in that mm-hmm. region. but I don't know. It'd be a fun matchup between Kentucky and Purdue. The 10th seed in that region is West Virginia.
Ooh, that's
Kentucky-West Virginia would be a great matchup. That'd be mm-hmm. a storybook matchup. Oscar Tshiebwe against his former team. Mm-hmm. Which they've talked a lot about him. Right. So Bob Huggins, he's talked a lot about how Oscar Tshiebwe is not a hard worker, mm-hmm. which I don't really get that, but be kind of nice revenge there for mm-hmm. Tshiebwe. They had that matchup.
That's true.
The fourth seed in that region would be Virginia. So I honestly think so the one seed in that region, of course, is Alabama. I could see Bama getting upset by Maryland in the round of 32 I could see them getting upset by Virginia in the mm-hmm. Sweet 16. I think that's best case scenario for me as a Kentucky fan. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a great region.
Yeah.
Same thing for you as a Purdue fan. I
don't like the Kentucky game, but still, if they move up to six, I mean, it is what
Kentucky moves up to six, and that'd be more of a Sweet 16 matchup, possibly.
That's true.
They should have matched up last year. Mm-hmm. It's really stupid how they didn't.
Right.
But
I actually think Purdue would have played Kentucky better than they would have St. Peter's last year. So that is what it is there.
Probably.
But yeah, Edie and Tshiebwe would be a fun matchup because I think Tshiebwe would play more off and, you know, Tshiebwe, go around the 3-point line.
If
sail out there.
Tshiebwe's been playing great lately. Uh-huh. Like, they're at some point mid-season, I'm like, I think teams have figured him out. You mm-hmm. know, he's kind of already peaked. He's still a great player, but, you know, the last stretch of the season, Tshiebwe's
played really
amazing.
Well.
I mean, mm-hmm. but what makes me, like, wonder is just, like, why Kentucky doesn't feed him more often. Mm-hmm. It's like, against Vanderbilt, he was eating, and nobody else was doing anything. Nobody was hitting shots. And we wouldn't feed him. He was the only thing that kept us in that game. Against Arkansas, you know, Antonio Reeves dropped 37. That's the biggest reason why we won. But Tshiebwe, he had 12 points in the first half, mm-hmm. Then had a ton of rebounds, ton of boards. I think if he can just get his boards every game, Kentucky's going to be successful. Kentucky's success, talk to you about it, is if they can shoot the ball. Kentucky's a team.
The same thing for Purdue.
It's like we have so many shooters. Like Antonio Reeves, CJ Frederick, they're two great shooters when they're on. But mm-hmm. if they're off, they are off the whole game. And it's like I'm just nervous, especially not having Sevier Wheeler. He's probably shut down for the season, which is too bad. He's a great player that I think – honestly, the fans kind of bullied him out of playing. Mm-hmm. It's like he got so much hate just for playing basketball, just for playing his game.
Right.
But, like, if Kentucky goes down with, like, Cason Wallace against Vandy went down with an injury. Mm-hmm. He missed the Arkansas game. They still won, but because Antonio Reeves dropped 37.
Right.
You know, it's going to be tough come March if you're not out there with the point guard. The third-string point guard is Adu Thiero. He's got potential, but he's a three-star. I mean, he's a three-star freshman who is not he's not built for big moments. He's given us some great bench play this year, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, you don't want the ball in his hands late in the game in March. So you're kind of just depending on Cason Wallace's injury. If he can if it wasn't that bad and he can stay healthy, this team can shoot the ball. They can make a run. Just straightforward.
I agree.
Just all depend on that. And then I'm going to move on to the Midwest, Kansas region. This is the Kansas City region. So it looks like Joe Lunardi, this obviously is just predictions, but he's kind of giving a lot of home teams their region because, like, the region that Kentucky's in, that's the South, that's Louisville.
Yeah.
If Kentucky advanced to the Sweet 16 and played the Elite Eight in Sweet 16 in Louisville, I'm taking them.
Right.
That's a home game. That's mm-hmm. two home games. So they would just have to make it out. And if Kansas... I think Kansas shouldn't have any problem making it to the Sweet 16. Then I think Kansas easily wins that.
Right.
If they're in Kansas City.
Yeah,
I mean,
especially,
it's like,
for sure.
But, yeah, they would have Missouri and Memphis in the second round, one of those two. I don't think they should have any problem.
Yeah.
They're solid, but,
I mean,
you know,
still, like, Missouri will travel well, too. Because
Missouri would travel well. If they, like, if that'd be crazy. If Missouri beats Kansas in the second round and gets the Sweet 16 in Kansas City, I could see them making a run.
Right, I agree.
It's, I mean, March is all about neutral courts and who plays well on the road. Mm-hmm. But if you're near your, you know, your city or where you play, it's a huge advantage that goes unnoticed.
Yeah, I agree totally.
And then the 5 seed in that, or I'll just go, the 2 seed in that region is Arizona. Mm-hmm. 7 seed would be Northwestern, USC. I could see Northwestern upsetting Arizona. I don't think they will, but I could see it. They're a team that's upset a lot this season. But that game would be in Sacramento, so it's not like they're having. Mm-hmm. They've had their upsets at home.
Right.
So.
Correct.
3 seed in that region is Marquette. They play Colgate first round, though. Colgate's
could be a
always
trap
tough.
Game, yeah. I think Marquette's pretty
good. Marquette's good. I just don't know what to think of them. It's like they're good.
They're really talented, and they have a really good head coach.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. I think
I just haven't seen too much of them this season for me to give a good opinion on that.
I get that.
The 6th seed they have in that region is San Diego State. They would play the winner of Mississippi State and Penn State. I wouldn't take San Diego State in that game. I think that's an upset there.
Yeah.
And then the 4th seed, this would be a very interesting round of 32 game. They have the 4 seed Indiana, the 5 seed Miami, and then the 12th seed is Drake. I could see Drake pulling off an upset there.
Yeah.
Did they beat Bradley last night?
They did.
They did, so they're in. Was that the championship?
Yeah, championship game.
Yeah, they're in. But I'd really like a matchup against Indiana-Miami. I think that could be an early exit for Indiana.
That's true.
Miami's guard play is great. I think they struggle when they have to play dominant big men.
IU's going to go as far as Schifino takes him.
Yes, I agree with that, but I also think that Trace Jackson Davis is great, don't get me wrong, but it's not like he's a dominant big.
Right.
He's big, but he's not like, you know.
I get what you're saying.
He's not a Shiba, he's not an Edie type player like that. Totally this is agree. Best case scenario for Miami, this region. I think Kansas is great, but Kansas is also a team that doesn't have a dominant big. I mean, they have great guard play with, like, you know, Grady Dick, but it's not like they have this dominant big. I think Miami could make a Final Four in this region. I really do.
Yeah, I could see it.
They're going to go as far as they can until they have to play a team with a big man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could beat them, but, you know, it's just like I'm taking my bet.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
For the West, you have UCLA as the 1 seed there, Baylor as the 2 seed. UCLA would play the winner of Providence and Boise State. I think Providence is a team that could make an upset there.
Yeah, I don't know.
They've been very inconsistent, yeah, they really but they are. Also, when they're on, they're on.
That's true.
And then the 3 seed in that region is Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga could beat Baylor.
Yeah.
And then I find this disrespectful. The 7 seed is Texas A&M. I mean, what more do they have to do?
I really don't know.
It's their early season struggles, but they've been great in conference play. They just beat Alabama.
That's true.
They played. I just don't know. I mean, I think they should at least be a 5, but they're a team that
I would put them around the 6-7 line.
I guess, but I don't know. They're a team that I think I would take in an upset over Baylor.
Yeah, I agree.
I haven't been too high on Baylor all season. But Texas A&M would play NC State first round. That'd be a tough matchup, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Texas A&M is a team I mentioned earlier. I think they could easily make a Final Four run. They have the talent. They're very good. They're very well coached. Buzz Williams is an amazing coach. Mm-hmm.
I don't know about a Final Four run.
I really could. I could see it.
I don't know.
It'll be tough, especially in this region, because Gonzaga's the 3 there. Then that 6-11 game is Michigan State-Auburn. That would be a great matchup.
Yeah.
I think Gonzaga, we've talked about this earlier this year, they're a team I could pretty confidently put them in the Final Four just because they're well-coached. They have one of the best college players of all time in Drew Timmy. Mm-hmm. They're a very veteran team. Drew Timmy's been in this tournament a lot. He's been to the Final Four. He's been to the national championship. Yeah. Gonzaga doesn't have the spotlight that they've had on them in the past. They're not the best team in basketball that everybody doubts because of their easy schedule. They've dropped some games this year, so they're the 3 seed. They're more than likely a 3 seed.
Yeah.
So I would take Gonzaga to the Final Four. I think they're going to be a pretty popular pick for me just based off how well coached they are.
Yeah, I could see
how much veteran leadership they have.
I could see it for sure.
Also, if they get put in they're always put in the West. Mm-hmm. They're gonna have fans at their games.
Yeah, I could see Zaga making a run.
I could definitely see Gonzaga making a run. That'd be a great little kind of pod there of Michigan State, Auburn, Gonzaga, and you have Texas A&M, NC State, Baylor. That'd be very interesting to watch.
Yep.
The fourth seed in this region is Xavier, 5-seed TCU. TCU, I could see
TCU making, is so hot or
making
cold.
A run to the Elite Eight.
I could see it for sure.
They're a solid team. They've had their games this year. I believe they beat Kansas on the road.
Yeah, they won at Kansas by like 20 points.
But also Xavier's a team where they're. I mean, Xavier and TCU are both so hit or miss. So it's like they could either get upset first round or make a run.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the New York region, you have Houston as the 1-seed, Texas as the 2, Tennessee as the 3, UConn as the 4, St. Mary's as the 5, Duke as the 6. There, Duke's playing really good at the right time.
I don't think Houston can make a. I think Houston's. I don't know if they're going to get bounced early, but I cannot see them coming through that bracket.
I don't know. It's tough. We haven't seen them against great competition.
I don't think they're that great, to be honest.
Iowa's the 7th seed there. Illinois 8, Arkansas 9, Pittsburgh 10, Rutgers 11, Oral Roberts 12. So
if Rutgers is 11th seed in New York, they'll have the home court advantage there.
Yeah, but the. Like you said about Houston, I see a round of 32 exit because, I mean, obviously they're going to win the 116 game, I'd hope. But Illinois and Arkansas are both teams that are talented.
Very true, very true.
I don't think Arkansas should be this high, a 9-seed. I mean, they've had their wins, but they have been
– I would say they're
8-10 in conference play.
That's true.
I'd say the SEC's bad this year.
I agree with that.
Alabama's a good team. Then it falls off because then Texas A&M and Kentucky are both solid. So is Tennessee. And then that's about it. Those are three solid teams and then a good team. So it's like.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with you there.
But yeah, Arkansas.
Well, I also think Arkansas is a team that can.
Arkansas can make a run because Eric Musselman's a great coach. That's they have amazing guard play. It comes down to if they're playing good down low.
Yeah.
I mean. In the game against Kentucky this weekend, they got dominated down low by Sheboy, and that's the reason they lost, in all honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And Illinois is also a very talented team. They've had their games this year. I could definitely see Houston getting upset early.
Yeah.
But Houston's also a team that's been pretty good in March.
That's true.
For the years. I could see Houston make it to the Final Four, no problem. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
They're so tough to predict because, you know, they don't play great competition,
mm-hmm.
and we haven't seen them against great competition this year.
That's true.
So, you know, we'll see what happens there. And then I could see Oral Roberts. I think it's a pretty popular pick to take Oral Roberts over St. Mary's if that's a 5-12 game. St. Mary's always gets upset. They just always do. And Oral Roberts is honestly a team I could see making a big run.
They have Max Abrams as a senior.
They
have Vancouver, the big man.
The big guy. They have a lot of guys that came back from that 15-seed team.
Yeah.
So, and then UConn, Yale. I think UConn would take that pretty easily. Duke, Rutgers will be interesting in Greensboro. I think just Duke's playing good at the right time, like I said.
I agree.
So, I would take Duke pretty far in this region because I think Duke would upset Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's probably a 3-seed, maybe 4, but I think probably a 3-seed because of the Alabama win. But Tennessee has never been good in March. They just haven't.
That's true.
They make the Sweet 16, which is good, but, you know, as of recent, they've been getting upset like last year against Michigan.
Yeah.
So, I would take Duke over them there.
Mm-hmm.
I would take Texas out of the Birmingham region there. Iowa and Pittsburgh, I don't think they would upset Texas.
Right.
I don't think they would. And then Duke-Texas would be an interesting matchup.
That's for sure.
You know, it's at the end of the day, it's a blue blood in March, so you never know what's going to happen there.
I might have picked Duke in that game on neutral floor. I think Duke's just playing great at the right time. So, yeah.
So the Final Four that I kind of want to happen, I could see happening. This is where each team's playing at their best. So I would take Kansas out of the Midwest region. Out of the South, obviously, I'm going to want to go Kentucky. I could see Kentucky. I couldn't see Bama. I could see Kentucky or Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be the winner of that game. I'm going to be completely honest.
I don't know.
Purdue is built for March.
Are they?
I think they are.
Are they? I don't know.
They've played great. They've played amazing on the road this year.
They have played pretty good on the road.
And, you know, you have...
They're undefeated on neutral sites. But I really don't know.
I could see them being around a 32 exit or making it all the way.
I don't know, man. Hopefully, but...
I don't see Kansas State getting past Kentucky or Purdue. I could see Kansas State getting beat by Creighton.
Creighton's a tough one.
Creighton's tough because I could see a Sweet 16 matchup between 17 Kentucky, 60 Creighton.
Mm-hmm. I could really see it. Yeah, I agree.
And then Virginia and Iowa State don't scare me too much. Alabama is good, but in March they don't. I mean, I'd rather play them than Kansas or UCLA.
I agree with that, but it depends on how good Brandon Miller plays in March.
So out of that region, I'd take Kentucky, kind of a homer pick there. They're a team, like I said, they're a first round exit or they're going, or a second round exit or they're going to the Final Four. It's really how far Antonio Reeves takes them. Really it is. But I think I'd either take them or Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take Purdue for the sake of it. I'll take Purdue out of that region.
I'll take Creighton.
Creighton. It's just they're so on and off.
Right.
And then out of the West, I think I'm going to stick with what I've had. I'll take UCLA. And then in the East, I'm going to take Duke. So my Final Four will be
Kansas, Purdue, UCLA, Duke.
I'd also kind of want to pick Kentucky just because I'd love to see Kentucky-Duke in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
So I might switch that to Kentucky just because I want to see that matchup.
I'll take Creighton, UCLA, Kansas. No, I actually have Duke as well.
Yeah, it's also in New York, I'd take Duke.
Right.
I doubt these are the regions that these teams get. I mean, Joe Lenardi's pretty good at seeding, but it's so tough to predict who gets the regions.
I agree.
But just solely off the fact that Kentucky's in Louisville, if they make it to, you know, the Sweet 16 Elite Eight, and Duke's in New York, I'm taking Duke and Kentucky in the Final Four if that's how it ends.
Yeah, that's
out.
Fair. Totally fair.
And then Midwest, Kansas. West, I would take... I might switch that pick to Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. I've been talking about them a little bit there. So Kansas, Gonzaga, Duke, Kansas. I mean, Kansas, Gonzaga, Kentucky, Duke. So that'd be a great Final
Four. That would be a nice Final Four.
But it could go any direction. Mm-hmm. Like, none of those teams could make it. It's going to be a crazy March this year.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Totally agree. It will be crazy. And, again, we don't know what seeding these guys will be. So, come Selection Sunday, we'll do a show on Monday, and we'll go over.
Yeah, we'll do a show on Monday. We'll do bracket picks, all that.
Should be fun.
I think I'm going to have to be biased like I always am and pick Kentucky, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I've never picked Purdue out of the Sweet
16. Really?
Never.
It's like ever since I've been a fan, I've always just, every single bracket I make, I pick Kentucky to win it all. It just feels weird for me not to.
Because
then it's like I'm cheering against them if I pick against. Not actually, but
no,
like,
I get what you're saying.
If I'm wanting to win a bracket and I'm wanting to cheer for my team, I'm going to pick my team.
I agree.
Now let's switch it over to the combine. More geared toward the quarterbacks in this combine. They all did pretty good. Anthony Richardson, he ran that 4.440. At how much does he weigh?
I'm not 100% sure. But the thing about the quarterbacks is if you get Richardson, I do think he's a project. But I still think like Jalen Hurts, obviously, his offensive coordinator, you know, Jalen Hurts wasn't a very good passer coming out of college. They drafted him more mobily than anything. And it was actually kind of confusing when they drafted him. Obviously, it worked out for them really well. But Shane Steichen, you know, developed him into being a passer. You know, got him throwing the football. And that's something that I really do think is going to – I really do think if you draft Richardson, I think Steichen can develop him into the Jalen Hurts type guy, if not better.
Exactly.
I think Richardson has more upside than Hurts. But I also think Richardson can be a bust, too, when it's all said and
done. It's just because of his throwing and his ability to read the
field.
It hasn't been there this year or last year.
I agree. he has not been very accurate in his passing. I think he's around a 50 to 60% accuracy, which just needs to be better. So I think if that can be better, I think Richardson is probably the future of the Colts, depending on where they end up picking him up. I don't think Bryce Young will be an option. I don't think Stroud will be an option. So I think Richardson or Levis are the guys. I could see a
trade up for Stroud, especially the day that – I mean, I think Stroud might go number one now.
I don't really want Stroud, to be honest. I would rather have Richardson or Levis than Stroud, just because I really don't think – I think Ohio State, because, again, you've seen that in the past. I think Ohio State guys are more system quarterbacks than anything else. And I really do think that, because I think, again, Haskins was a system quarterback. I think
Fields
Justin
is going to be
Fields
good,
was
though.
I think he is. I don't know. I think he's more of a system guy.
It's just Stroud had a great – but I'm also confident with Steichen with any of these quarterbacks.
No, I totally
they're
agree.
They're all going to develop, and they're all going to be good with him. Mm-hmm. It's like I think that if you stay at four, you're getting Levis. If you stay at four.
So you think Richardson will be off the board by pick four?
No. See, here's what I'm thinking. You trade up, you're either trading up for Young or Stroud. If you stay at four, that means they want Levis, because you can trade down for Richardson. And I think Ballard's smart enough that if they've decided on Richardson, they're going to trade down to around eight.
But I also think
I don't think
Richardson had such
a
good pro day.
It's just his
combine.
Physicals.
Yeah, that's true. And again, like Dan Campbell said it the best, like he doesn't evaluate players based off them running around in pajamas. You know, he develops them on film and how good they were in college.
Exactly. That's why, like, I mean, everybody's kind of on Richardson, and I mean, it makes sense. He ran a 4.440 at like 250 pounds, big 6 foot, what 6'3", 6'4
guy.
Yeah,
around there.
And he has a cannon. He has a big arm,
mm-hmm.
and so all those like potentials in a great NFL quarterback you have there, but it's like,
no, I get what you're saying. I really do think he's a really good quarterback, and I do think he'll have one of the best NFL careers out of all of them.
So let's say you draft Richardson,
uh-huh.
He's probably gonna sit at least for a year.
I really think he's a two-year project.
Year or two. Yeah, I could see that. Year or two. But he's also a guy where you could bring him in situations where you want to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine the read option with him and Taylor. I think you got it. You would have to utilize
that. That's
true. Because here's what I'm thinking, right? I think if you draft Richardson, you bring in a guy. You could keep Matt Ryan. That's an option, which I wouldn't want him either. I'm just saying that's an option because he's still in the contract. But also,
do you go market and get like Mariota?
You could go, I don't know. Okay, Mariota's a guy similar to Richardson play style. So, and he's been in the league for a while. I wouldn't mind Richardson learning behind a guy like Mariota.
I don't know.
But
man.
Also, I could see, I think I could see us getting Derek Carr. Having Richardson sit behind Carr.
Well, Carr was in Indianapolis this week and interviewed with the Saints and some other teams. I think the Jets and teams like those. But he did not interview with Indianapolis, so I don't think
that's what
an
makes
option.
Me think that I don't know if we're going to get Richardson. I just, it's, I don't know. Because let's say Richardson's a 2-year project. You go get a solid quarterback. And I think that the Colts could be successful.
Mm-hmm.
The AFC South is still very much wide open, in my opinion.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Because like, it's just like if you bring in a solid quarterback, you bring in another wide receiver, beef up the O-line, you have a lot of money this offseason, you can be good, and then you can have Richardson kind of be a dual threat guy you can bring in. You can definitely utilize him.
That's true.
And develop him. I don't know.
I get what you're saying, though.
If you draft Levis, Stroud, or Young, you're going to start them week one.
Agree.
None of those guys, I don't think, need time to develop. They have. I think Richardson might have the highest upside.
I agree. I do agree.
He could be more mobile than Lamar. He might be more shifty and mobile.
I don't know about that. But
or at least close to that.
Mm-hmm.
He has
what you're
that
saying,
talent.
Though, yeah.
And I think
I don't think
he has more
good
upside.
Of a scrambler as Lamar.
I think that's true. I think he has more upside passing the ball than Lamar. He has a way stronger arm. It's really just, you know.
No, I agree.
In his accuracy down.
Yeah, I totally agree, but I don't know how good. Well, see, it's so hard to tell these prospects, you know, above each other. Because, like, last year I thought Malik Willis from Tennessee quarterback. I thought he had the best combine out of all of them.
Yeah.
Me looking. And, again, could he be something in the future? There's a possibility.
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, I get what you're saying. But, yeah, I'm completely content with any of these guys. I honestly don't think you should even trade up at this point. Going to take too much when you can draft a guy like Levis who, you know, he's a power runner. He could still fit the offense well. He's got a very strong arm. Or a guy like Richardson who has this insane mobility, insane speed a quarterback that, you know, the Colts, quite frankly, have never had that speed at quarterback.
That's true. Luck was the closest you ever
got
to that.
I think so. If they still want to kind of go for an Andrew Luck guy, I could definitely see them drafting Levis. Levis mm-hmm. is a power runner like Luck. He has a strong arm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be confident if we got Levis. With Richardson, it's like, it just depends if they want to shift to something new. I'm fine with Richard. I love Richardson.
I would like Young. Obviously, Bryce Young. I would like Young, then probably Richardson, then Levis. Or Levis and Richardson are kind of interchangeable, but I don't think you're going to get Bryce Young. So
We'd have to trade up. And
right.
We'll see I
really don't want to trade up for him because I could also see him being a bust because of his size. And I get smaller quarterbacks have worked in the league before, but I don't know, man. He's a couple inches shorter than like Drew Brees, who is a really small quarterback. He reminds me of
the same height as Kyler.
Yeah, he reminds me of Kyler a lot, and I don't know if I really want that as my franchise guy, you know. So it's going to be interesting, though. But I think there is some quarterbacks that are misses here, but I think they're all about the same. I don't think any of them will be, like, you know, at Hall of Fame-level quarterbacks, but I think
I could see any of these guys being a top 10 quarterback at some point.
I don't know about that, man.
Richardson could definitely be that, I think.
The only quarterback that's come out in the last few years other than Trevor Lawrence and obviously Burrow. I'm not talking about Burrow and Herbert here. I'm just talking about the last few years. I still could maybe see Trevor Lawrence, but I don't think any of these guys are going to be absolute superstars in the league. I think they're going to be really solid quarterbacks.
I think they could be Super Bowl winners, though.
Well, I'm talking about legends. Like I can see Trevor Lawrence being like a future legend, depending on how it works out in Jacksonville.
I could see that, but I think
I'm talking like Hall of Fame level.
Could see all of these quarterbacks winning a Super Bowl someday. And by winning a Super Bowl, I mean just being a franchise guy that they can kind of build around. He's not going to be amazing. He might be a top 10, top 15 guy.
Yeah,
but he's a guy that can get you there. Like he can get you there. He can win those games.
No, I agree.
I can see any of these guys being that. It's like
people
kind of, and I'm not saying that you're doing this, but people kind of just want to say, oh, none of these guys are going to be superstars. Why would you draft them this early?
Right.
It's like they're still going to be good.
I agree.
They're going to be franchise guys. It's like you don't have to be top five to win a Super Bowl. I mean. Mm,
that's true.
Yeah, it's like.
But I'm talking about.
Jared Goff made the Super Bowl.
What I'm talking about is like I'm talking like Hall of Fame level quarterbacks.
Yeah,
I don't really see one in this draft class.
Do you see one in next year's draft class?
I think Caleb Williams is the best prospect I've seen since Trevor Lawrence.
Probably.
If that. And I don't think it's really close either.
Yeah. But I can see that.
I also think, I mean, with how Lawrence has started his career off, a lot of people will still doubt him. But at the same time, I still think Trevor Lawrence is a future, really good player. I think he can be an all-pro type player, just depending on the future and how it works out in Jacksonville. Because I think Doug Peterson, that's their coach, right? Is it Doug Peterson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll turn Lawrence into top 10 quarterback by next year, if not top five.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting there.
It's going to be very interesting. We'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the Colts don't mess it up.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you can really mess it up unless, you know, one of these guys becomes a bust.
You say you don't know if we can mess it up. And then
uh-huh.
We've been pretty notorious for doing that
recently. Or then, I mean, even if even if you don't really want a quarterback in this draft class, get an O-lineman.
Not that early. Better trade back for an O-lineman.
Yeah, trade back for an O-lineman, and then, you know, get Caleb Williams next year. But I don't want that. I want a quarterback now, and then I want to be able to get a superstar receiver next year. Marvin Harrison Jr. is who I'm looking at for sure.
Then you could also get Stroud this year, pair him up.
I don't want Stroud.
I'd be happy with him.
I don't want Stroud because, again, I think Ohio State quarterbacks are system quarterbacks. Again, we've been over it before. Mm. You said they really don't have talent at the quarterback position, which I guess that's true. But at the same time, I think Ohio State suits them to be system quarterbacks. And I don't think Justin Fields will be that great of a pro when it's all said and done. I think he'll be solid, but I don't know.
I know. Only time will tell there, but... Yeah, it was a pretty good episode of the Playbook Podcast. It's the longest we've been for a while.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Lots to talk about in March, especially. You got the Combine. You got March mm-hmm. Madness.
Yep.
We'll be here to cover it all month. So, anyways, you can catch our radio show every Thursday from 9:15 to 10 a.m. And then you can catch some of our other podcast episodes on Indy's Giant 90.9 on Spotify. Anyways, everybody have an amazing day. Signing out from Ben Davis Studio.